VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, coming your way from VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, as we open our program today, we want to give a special word of welcome to new Crosstalk listeners over the King of Kings Network listening in Jenkins, Kentucky. We want to congratulate Dr. David Carr, the team at King of Kings Network, for their diligent efforts in adding to their family these new signals now, AM 1480, 105.9 FM. We appreciate so much Dr. Carr. We appreciate his desire to keep you informed on critical issues. So welcome new listeners to Crosstalk, 1480 AM, 105.9 FM in Jenkins, Kentucky. And friends, no matter which station you listen to, could we ask that you just contact that station and thank them for carrying Crosstalk? Thank you for keeping you informed on so many issues that are confronting us today. We would appreciate that very much. This coming Saturday, June 24th, marks the one-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision, Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. This is what overturned Roe v. Wade. Thousands of babies have been spared this brutal, horrific, torturous death that had occurred in the death chambers of many abortuaries. Sadly, some states have the taste of blood in their mouth and have expanded the means to take the innocent life of the preborn. Others have taken steps to protect life. But with the report on the topic, Dobbs, 1 year later, we welcome back Pastor Jim Hardin, President and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. Jim pioneered the first measurable and repeatable medical model in the pregnancy center movement, helping hundreds of centers nationwide become more effective at reaching more women and saving more babies from abortion. He's written extensively on medical ethics, executive leadership, and pro-life strategy. Pastor Jim, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thanks for having me back, Jim. It's an honor.
So this Saturday marks the one-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision. Give us your thoughts on this. How significant is this milestone? What are your thoughts now, 1 year later?
You know, I've thought about that a lot, and I think that America is better on so many levels because of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe versus Wade. You know, many people thought in the lead up to the Dobbs case that it would outlaw abortion. We know that's not true. It simply sent the decision back down to the states for the people to debate and hash this out themselves. And so they have. Many states have engaged in increased restrictions and regulations. A recent Gallup poll demonstrates that more Americans want abortion restricted. And when asked how they want abortion restricted, they want it restricted all the way, you know, in every instance except for the life of the mother and rape and incest, which means 98 to 99% of abortions they want outlawed. So despite this, the recent spin on the Gallup poll, Americans, because of the conversation that we've been having as America this last year, has become more pro-life. And that's always going to be the case. The more we talk, truly talk, and have conversations, engage critical dialogue around what it means to be human, the more pro-life the country will become. And that's one of the reasons why I believe pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democrat Party want to stifle the debate by robbing the states of their ability to regulate abortion, which is exactly what the Biden administration has been wanting to do, you know, for forever. And that's create a federal right to abortion, which would, for all intents and purposes, we can talk about it later, but for all intents and purposes, that would outlaw public pro-life expression. Because if you create a right that is to abortion, then anybody who is seen as standing in the way of a woman accessing that right will be considered violating a civil right of a woman, which is a prosecutable offense. So anyway, I think that America is in a better situation than we have been, despite the fact that the debate is heating up, and so has the violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. And speaking of the violence, we can't forget that leading up to the Staub decision, after the leak had happened, your facilities, as many others, were targeted, but you were firebombed. And I'm guessing in an all-out effort to take you out of business, to stop you from doing what you're doing. Give us an update on what's going on there. Have the perpetrators been brought to justice?
Well, I'd like to say that the perpetrators have been brought to justice, but, you know, there hasn't been any movement in terms of identifying who the perpetrators are. We had to file a lawsuit against the police department because the FBI had them under their thumb, and they were slow walking the investigation if they didn't bring the investigation to a complete halt. We filing a lawsuit against the Amherst Police Department, which is the first ring suburb of Buffalo, essentially to get our video surveillance back so our private investigators can do the job of the FBI and find out who the perpetrators are. So in that, one of the last hearings with the Supreme Court judge out of Erie County in New York State, sadly, this was months and months and months after, I must have been 8 months after the attack, the attorney representing the Amherst police said basically all the leads had gone cold. We don't believe that because our private investigators have been doing a fantastic job unearthing who these people really are. Jane's Revenge, which is the group that was claiming responsibility for the firebombing in Madison, Wisconsin, as you know, mm-hmm. but also the firebombing in Buffalo. They issued a 30-day ultimatum for us to shut down immediately after the first firebombing in Madison. We didn't shut down. We got firebombed on day 30. They took responsibility on, and said, next time, if you don't shut down, it's not going to be as easily cleaned up as fire and graffiti. That's a direct quote. And so that's a murder threat. Where are we? Well, there have been, according to some numbers and estimates, over 300 attacks on pro-life entities since the illegal, unprecedented breach of security at the Supreme Court, leaking the full draft opinion of the Dobbs case on May 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah, it was May 2nd. And so where are they? I mean, where's the manhunt? Why aren't they calling these attacks domestic terror? We know that Jane's Revenge is a front group for Antifa. Why aren't they calling it out? Where are the Dawn SWAT raids? You know, they're turning their investigative and attack arresting power on pro-life people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've seen coming out of the FBI, whistleblowers coming out of the FBI saying that they were targeting pro-life adherents, people who adhere to pro-life beliefs, for investigation, and pregnancy centers for investigation. And then we had recent reports coming out of the Department of Homeland Security back in May, this May, saying that they were profiling pro-life mothers as potential domestic terror threats. I mean, so the Department of Justice has deprioritized the investigations and has been weaponizing, politicizing federal law enforcement, at least at the FBI and DHS. And so we have significant concerns that the reason why we don't have results on any of these investigations is because the FBI is not doing their job and potentially is even complicit in these attacks. And by complicit, I mean, at the very minimum, turning a blind eye to domestic terrorism.
You have actually called these attacks on pro-life centers Kristallnacht. Some would say you're being overly dramatic here. First, tell us, what is Kristallnacht and how does this apply to these attacks?
Yeah, when we were attacked on June 7th a year ago, I stood in front of our smoldering facility in front of, a bunch of media cameras and reporters, and I pointed back at our facility and I said, this is the face of the abortion industry. This kind of violence, this is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. And so what Kristallnacht is a German word, means broken glass at night. When I said that, everybody kind of cocked their head and squinted and said, really, you're going to compare this to Kristallnacht? And it was the second of such attacks, but it was a concerted effort. And Jane's Revenge was communicating in very communistic type, kind of a Marxist language in their communiques. And I said, we'll see. I hope, but Kristallnacht was the tipping point in 1938 Germany, where the brown shirts essentially went out at night, broke the glass of Jewish-owned businesses, and lit fires. And that's exactly what happened to Compass Care. Someone went out in the middle of the night, two people actually, went out in the middle of the night, broke glass in our facility, and lit fires. And this was an intention intended to shut us down. That's their stated intent, because they claim that we're Christian fascists and that we're making women a permanent socioeconomic underclass and enslaving them by forcing them to have their babies. That's what they say. So what made Kristallnacht in Germany that watershed moment where violence tipped into the general population in the Jewish community? It was two things, actually. One was a lack of public outcry, and two, a refusal on the part of the political elite to denounce the violence and even encourage it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the formula we have in America today. And the violence continued, and the political elite continued to foment the violence while turning a blind eye to the violence. And there was a lack of public outcry. With exceptions with people like you, Jim, the mainstream media still to this day refuses to cover this violence. To this day refuses to say that Antifa is a domestic terror group targeting pro-life entities, Christian pro-life entities in particular. Why? What is so dangerous about a pregnancy center that simply wants to give women ethical medical care and comprehensive community support for free? For free, we're meeting her unmet health and resource needs. What do abortionists do? Abortionists do abortions. That's it. That's all. And they want to censor us. They want to vilify us. They want to they want to literally kill us and destroy our property, so that we can't continue to serve women and help them have their babies. Why? But the reason I think they're doing this, why they're attacking pro-life organizations, is because of what we believe. What we believe, this primary belief that pro-life people are able to articulate, is the belief, I think, that stands between tyranny and a free rule of law, constitutional rule of law. And it's this, that all people are made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable without partiality, without qualification. Because what does the Declaration of Independence say? We are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. And the right to life, of course, being the first and primary, the right that presupposes all others, without which you've got no other rights. And so there's this pro-abortion kind of political movement that wants to ignore the fact that we have a Creator, that we're made in His image. We're not endowed by our government with fabricated rights. Which is exactly what abortion represents, a fabricated right, and exactly what the Dobbs decision says. You know, when the Dobbs decision came out, Justice Alito was the majority opinion author, and he said that when Roe was decided back in 1973, it was on a collision course with the Constitution immediately. Why? Because anytime the government decides to create a right out of thin air, like abortion, it is going to compete with one of the inalienable rights that God gives us. So, for example, if you give a woman a right to abortion, to specifically end the life of the child, that ultimately is going to conflict with the right to life. Or the religious right, the freedom of religion and freedom of speech of those that want to protect that child, or protect that woman from being victimized by an abortion industry. And that's exactly what we've got going on right now. And so the abortion industry, I believe, is fighting for their lives.
Pastor Jim Harden with us here today on Crosstalk. And folks, we've got more to unfold. He's president and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Centers in New York. We're talking about Dobbs 1 year later. This Saturday marks the 1 year anniversary of the Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade. More discussion after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, since in the Garden of Eden, people were eating plants, and certainly insects died there, can we say that there was no death before sin?
Chris, creationists insist on the biblical doctrine that the wages of sin is death, and that Adam's rebellion brought death into a once very good creation which had no death. In doing so, we must be careful to use the right terms. Certainly Adam and Eve were commanded to eat fruit in the garden, and this implies plant death. It would also be difficult for Adam to avoid stepping on an ant as he walked around. But is this death? The Bible never uses the term living for plants or insects. It teaches that life is in the blood and speaks of the breath of life. Thus, only air-breathing, blood-filled animals lived or died. Chris, there was no true death before sin. Let's go back to Genesis for our perspective on these things.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
Dobbs, 1 year later, our topic today here in Crosstalk. Pastor Jim Harden is with us from Compass Care Pregnancy Services out of New York. Yes, their center was firebombed and many, many other pro-life agencies and churches. Jim, we know, you know, I guess there's been one perpetrator that was apprehended just before trying to flee the country, the firebombing against Wisconsin Family Action. We understand right now he is fighting to have these charges dropped. But when you look at this picture and what's happened to you, what's happened in the past year in particular, do you believe that there are more attacks on their way?
Well, that's a $64,000 question. Are there more attacks on the way? I think the answer is yes. But I don't think they're going to come in the form of firebombings of pregnancy centers. I think, you know, similar to 9/11, you know, the terrorists engaged in, you know, a weakness in America and used our flight systems against us. And now we got that covered. And you know, everybody's watching. Security's been beefed up. Police departments, local police departments are you know, on the alert. Even now, specifically, you know, ahead of the anniversary on Saturday. So I think we're going to get attacks in the form of more vilification, more censorship from Google and Yelp, more vilification, I'd say, from the political elite, like Elizabeth Warren out of Massachusetts, and Senator Hirano out of Hawaii, and New York Governor Hochul, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, you know, the attacks are going to still come, but they're going to come in a different way from different angles to find a way to protect the abortion industry and drum up support ahead of the presidential election cycle. So yeah. The pro-abortion Democrats, you know, are committed to putting abortion front and center because they saw that as a weak point for the Republicans in the 2022 midterms. Which it was. The Republicans really in mass failed to stand strong on the pro-life debate. The ones that did won their elections handily. The ones that didn't, you know, lost. So I think that we should be on the alert. I don't think Antifa is going to stop their violence, though. I think the violence is just going to shift to other places like Christian schools. You know, transgender people are being activated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be one-off, you know, attacks by individuals against groups. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the violence subsides. I do think that this should be a warning, a wake-up call, a shot across the bow of the ship of state, if you will. This violence demonstrates that we need to return to a civilized order. And I believe the only way to do that is to return to God. I mean, we're at the end of the trail.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't return to a common set of core values that are rooted in human dignity as made in the image of God, then we can't find a civilized order that that will have mutual respect for our fellow man.
You know, we understand that Joe Biden is speaking this week promoting abortion as health care as we approach the 1 year anniversary. Vice President Kamala Harris seems to be the spokeswoman, you know, for this administration, all things abortion, making a speech to promote abortion, attack those who are pushing pro-life legislation. I believe you're very right that we're going to see, even as we approach the elections next year, that this is going to be a major issue here. But will conservatives stand up, and will they defend the innocent life in the womb, or will they kowtow to it and try to make excuses or not address it head on? It's imperative that they do.
Oh, it is absolutely imperative. We don't need a consensus and compromise political elite in conservative and Republican ranks. We need moral leadership. And what we've been seeing over the last many years is a lack of leadership, a lack of moral leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and politics are usually, it's usually a lags behind culture. And I believe that it's the church that has the prophetic moral voice and the prophetic, the ability to behave in ways that change the culture, like through pregnancy centers, for example. And the church needs to take their God-given voice and leverage it in all spheres, including telling their the people that are interested in becoming elected officials where they need to stand. We need pro-life statesmen. We need pro-life, because it is not the government's job to decide who qualifies for protection under the law, who qualifies as a person protected under the law. It is the government's job to protect all people equally under the law, no matter who they are, no matter how old they are, no matter whether they're pre-born or whether they're born. It is that job of government to exercise the justice system, and the justice system cannot be blind if it allows for the dehumanization of any category of human being.
Yeah.
It's like an abortion Hunger Games.
Do you, as we approach this 1-year anniversary, do you have any idea as to how many babies' lives have been saved as a result of the DOPS decision?
That's, Jimmy, you ask a lot of good questions. We're looking into that information right now. In fact, I had a conversation about with some of our colleagues about that very issue last Friday, and we're thinking that there have been tens of thousands saved from mm-hmm. abortion. We'll know more in the coming weeks as we delve deeper into this.
Sure.
But we know that abortion has shifted dramatically to chemical abortion, away
right.
from surgical abortion, in-person
mm-hmm.
surgical abortion. But anytime you restrict abortion, it does reduce the numbers. And now we've got 17 states that are significantly restricting abortion access, which means abortion numbers are going to go down. But anytime a state deregulates abortion or begins to pay for abortion, the numbers always go up. We've seen it time and time again in places like Illinois and New York and California. So the inverse is also true. The question is how many lives have been saved so far, and that's going to be great news. I can't wait to know.
We're going to talk about the abortion pill here in just a bit, the chemical abortions, but I'd like to first talk about Planned Parenthood, because this may be another indicator. It's been reported that they're going to be laying off around 100 staffers at their headquarters in Manhattan and in Washington, D.C. I saw another story indicating they're laying off 15% of their staff nationwide. All of this, and so you contrast, though, this at the same time where it's just been reported, too, that a top CEO with Planned Parenthood, reported by LifeNews.com, making over $616,000 annually in killing babies.
Well, there's big money in abortion. It's a $1 billion abortion complex. And for the first time in the history of the abortion industry, there's competition. And there's competition with Planned Parenthood. For the first time, Planned Parenthood's got competitors. It's estimated that Planned Parenthood, is responsible for up to 40% of all abortions in America.
My.
Since abortion has been shifting to chemical abortion, Planned Parenthood has not been able to shift as quickly because it's a behemoth. So we've seen a lot of these pop-up online telehealth abortionists doing cash business and distributing and undercutting Planned Parenthood in their costs. So I think that they're seeing that. And Planned Parenthood responds relatively quickly to consolidate their administration when they're facing some deficits. But they've gotten, I think, nearly $1 billion last year, according to their most recent 990 filing, from the federal government. That doesn't even include state government, Medicaid funding for abortion, et cetera. So they're basically a de facto government bureaucracy or an institution that's designed to engage in population control. And look, I say that because, all the things that Planned Parenthood does, including all the abortion, all the surgical abortion and the chemical abortion that they purvey, represent violations of the Nuremberg Code, the third provision of the Nuremberg Code. This is all designed to limit population growth. When we've got a baby shortage in America, we've got a baby shortage in a modern Western world.
Yeah.
And they're right on the ground floor of destroying the nuclear family unit, mm-hmm. By encouraging transgenderism, and gender affirming care, and all sort of thing, and of course abortion, which destroys the life of an entire human being, plus dramatically damaging the woman, not just emotionally but physically, and her future ability to have children.
Yeah. Well, it is devastating to see what is taking place, and Planned Parenthood has been at the hub of this. And I know that there are many who just clap their hands with delight to know that the layoffs that will be taking place at Planned Parenthood. But we've talked about the chemical abortions in part, the impact of the abortion pill. I'd like you to address this issue as well, because there are many pop-ups, as you said, that are promoting the abortion pill, the telehealth meetings that are taking place, the medical appointments, et cetera. Democrats at this time are placing significant pressure on pharmacies to make the pill available. Some pharmacies said, no, we're not going to do it in states that have banned this, and they're being pressurized in this as well. Let's talk about that impact of the chemical abortion pill and also its harm.
Yes. I tell you, so 53 congressmen sent an open letter to some of the bigger pharmacies owned by some of the superfood stores, like Kroger and places like that, demanding to know why they have not applied to receive training to dispense chemical abortion mifepristone. There's been a letter that's been sent by, I think, 22 different state attorneys general to FDA Commissioner Califf, as well as nearly a quarter of all senators sent another letter to Merrick Garland, essentially saying that the distribution of chemical abortion is currently illegal according to federal law. Currently illegal. Violation of Section 18, U.S. Code 18, paragraphs 1461 and 1462. And the purveyance of the illicit kind of abortion, chemical abortion trafficking is prosecutable, and there's a 5-year statute of limitations, and there are violations for of racketeering and federal money laundering. And so they're demanding that Attorney General Merrick Garland enforce the law, despite the fact that he came out on January 3rd saying he was not going to enforce the law. He recognized the law's there, Comstock Act, but he said he's not going to enforce it. And now you got there's blatant flouting of the law right now. It's an undermining of the rule of law. The legislature put these laws in place. They were modified in 1996. And Merrick Garland is saying, I'm not going to enforce it. I don't care. And you've got these other congressmen saying, encouraging these pharmacies to, or demanding essentially that these pharmacies, convey these drugs, these very dangerous drugs to women. So we've got a serious problem right now where the Department of Justice is treating the law like a buffet, picking and choosing which ones to enforce and which ones not to enforce, while allowing the certain people in power to thumb their nose at the law.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about the Supreme Court and their dislike of their decision with the Dobbs case. We're talking about existing law on the books that's been on the books for years.
But look how frightening close we were to having Merrick Garland, who disregards the law, as being a Supreme Court justice.
I know. They're using the law to undermine the rule of law.
Yeah.
We ignore this to our peril, Jim, as a country. We ignore this to our peril. It's time for us to hold our elected representatives accountable, impeach them if they refuse to do to abide by their oath.
Pastor Jim Harden with us here today on Crosstalk, President and CEO of Compass Care Pregnancy Services, based in New York. Friends, have ready to jot down a website address, contact information for our guest. We'll be giving that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
One of the prevalent conflicts in society is the battle over gender and marriage. We are flooded with stories pertaining to drag queen story hours, the restroom debates, gender reassignment surgeries, pronoun identification, biological males on female athletic teams, and so much more. These issues are not only confronting schools and businesses, but they have also encroached inside the church. Many are left wondering how to deal with these matters.
The book, The Marriage and Gender War, addresses these issues head-on by using the absolute standard for morality as found in God's Word, and is edited by Bodie Hodge and Ken Ham. The book is designed to equip students, parents, Christian leaders, and others to uphold the truths of Scripture on these critical issues. The Gender and Marriage War is available for a donation of $16 by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the Dobbs decision 1 year later. This was Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, a Supreme Court decision that was released by the court on June 24th, just before their term came to a conclusion this past year. And they released that decision on a Friday. This year, then, of course, Saturday is that one-year anniversary. With us today is Pastor Jim Harden from Compass Care Pregnancy Services in New York. We're hitting a lot of issues here as it pertains to Dobbs 1 year later. But, Jim, for those who would like more information about your work and ministry, how can you best direct them?
Yeah, if people would like to learn more about how Compass Care is saving women and babies from abortion, they can go to CompassCareCommunity.com. That's CompassCareCommunity.com.
Okay. And folks, jot it down. And for those who don't have internet access, what's the best way?
For those that don't have internet access, probably the best way would be to call our national headquarters at 585-232-3894. That's 585-232-3894.
Great. Jim Harden with us here today. We're talking about the chemical abortions, and I found it so... Number one, there are many who do not know that there is a reversal pill that's available, and the media is not telling them about it by any stretch of the imagination. And some are going to great lengths, like we saw Colorado Governor Polis signed legislation that bans the abortion pill reversal, from being dispensed. And we understand a federal judge has put a hold on that legislation right now, but indeed, there is a reversal that is available, and that word needs to get out as well.
Oh, you're right, 100%. The chemical abortion reversal is essentially a treatment that has been used by OBs for decades to help women with chronic miscarriage problems. And it gets down to what the chemical abortion pill does. Mifepristone is a progesterone blocker. That's what it does. It blocks a woman's natural progesterone, the progestational hormone that provides nourishment to the child. It blocks that progesterone and kills the child. So all that this progesterone kind of pregnancy-sustaining therapy does is overwhelm the mifepristone progesterone blocker with more progesterone. That's all it does, and save the baby. And so, women, when they start the chemical abortion process, they have about, 48 to 72 hours of time before the baby dies. And so if we can get to her in time, or she can get to us in time, we can pull the life of that baby out of the jaws of death. So, and it works. It works really, really. I mean, the abortion industry doesn't want people to know about it because – it cuts in on their business and demonstrates the evil that is abortion. Yeah. So RU-46 is the chemical abortion regimen, and it has two drugs. Mifepristone kills the baby. Misoprostol creates uterine contractions to expel the baby. And right now, the Fifth Circuit has heard oral arguments and is right now deliberating on whether or not the FDA's approval of this dangerous drug was illegal and needs to be overturned. And in fact, the argument was made that the FDA circumvented their own legal protocols for safety and efficacy for this dangerous mifepristone drug. Mm-hmm. And the abortion industry is very concerned because they know that if the FDA, if the Fifth Circuit says, FDA, go back to the drawing board, do your job, that mifepristone is so dangerous it would never make it to their rigorous safety and efficacy protocols. And so that would cut abortion in half overnight, which would have more implications on the abortion industry than even overturning Dobbs.
Wow. Let's hit one other issue here quick as well, and that is, sadly, an organization that is to do no harm as it relates to patients, the American Medical Association, medical doctors, just recently voted down a resolution to protect babies who survive abortion. It just goes beyond belief that they would actually work in such a way not to protect the life that's been born.
You know, it's a slippery slope. I mean, every doctor has a duty to care. The purpose of medicine is to heal and to maintain the health of the patient. And so, therefore, all medical technology and knowledge must be leveraged for the purpose of saving lives, not hastening a demise or destroying life. And that's why abortion was actually written into the original Hippocratic Oath. The oath that doctors would take before they started practicing medicine independently, even up until 1973, before Roe versus Wade, had this phrase in it. I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. I will not give a woman an abortive remedy. Mm-hmm. That's an old way of saying abortion is not medical care. Mm-hmm. Because if the purpose of medicine is to protect the health and well-being of the patient, then abortion doesn't represent health care to either the mother or the child. In fact, it represents the opposite. Out of all the things that they could have included in the Hippocratic Oath, they chose abortion because abortion has never and is not and never will be true medical care. It's the opposite. It's quackery. So, when you've got an organization that ostensibly represents medical ethics, and I know medical ethics, I just wrote a book on medical ethics, that you've got a breach. You've got a profession that has literally lost its soul, no longer understands its purpose. And again, like politics, medicine lags. Medicine doesn't lead. It's our job to step in, and whatever our profession is, We need to step in. If you're a theologian, if you're a pastor, if you're a businessman, if you're a business owner, if you're a teacher, if you're a mom, it doesn't matter. We need to step in and tell people what is right and wrong. And it is wrong, always and everywhere, to end the life of a human being, especially preborn children. If you look at the Bible, preborn children are afforded more protections than people who are born. You know, the Bible, people say, well, the Bible doesn't talk about abortion. The Bible talks about principles of what it means to protect humanity. Mm-hmm. And humanity is representative in the individual, right? Because we're made in the image of God, we shouldn't shed another man's blood. And that extends itself specifically to the most weak and vulnerable. And there is no one more weak or more vulnerable than a preborn boy or girl. That's why you've got to protect them. You've got to protect the women, and you've got to protect the children who are bearing those children. The women who are bearing those children. I think for the AMA to come out and say it's okay to let a child die on the table and withhold life-saving care is a slippery slope, because who's next? Who's next?
Right.
If you vest the government or a profession with the power to deny life-saving care and treatment to a category of human being just because they're in that category, you're vesting them with the ability to define who qualifies as a person under the law and who doesn't, protected under the law and who's not. And that's, it's a slippery slope, because then it might be you next. It might be your neighbor. It might be your daughter. It might be whoever's most inconvenient or most expensive. This is very dangerous.
We're talking today with Jim Hardin, Dobbs 1 year later. We're opening our phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. Friends, if you have a question, maybe something that's puzzled you about what's been said, you want more clarification, some issue about this standing for life that has been a stumbling block for you and need help and guidance through it, our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, talking about the Dobbs decision 1 year later, 800-733-9829. The website for our guest, CompassCareCommunity.com. CompassCareCommunity.com, and their phone number 585-232-3894. Folks, what is your reaction to the Dobbs decision now 1 year later? Pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. Let me just also ask you about this, Jim. We have seen the news come out. I have a copy of the Guardian before me here from middle June about scientists now creating what they're calling synthetic human embryos from stem cells. Your reaction to this?
Anytime, just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. You know, just because the technology, I think what's happening is our technology is outpacing our morality.
Yes.
And by outpacing, I mean it's getting to the point where it's controlling us instead of us controlling it. you know, we've got to think, you know, bioethics is, you know, an area of thought and discipline that is unmoored right now. It's we have no anchor, moral anchor to tell us, you know, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. And playing around with the crown of creation is very dangerous territory. We shouldn't treat it as anything less than sacrosanct. We're not animals to be manipulated or crops to be manipulated. We're not to be controlled or viewed as population blocks. We're people, and the way you treat an instance of a human being needs to reflect the dignity of our created situation. We're created by God in His image. So the manipulating and trying to create human beings, you know, in this way is I think disrespectful, and will only lead to further abuses.
Yeah, and
it's objectification of humanity.
Mm-hmm. And friends, we're going to be seeing more and more of this. And matter of fact, we've got places, Japan and others that are giving now all kinds of financial incentives, saying, you know, they had such a limitation of babies in the womb and the birth of children, now encouraging families to do just the opposite because they see the demographic winter that we are in right now as well. Tell you what, let's get to some phone lines here. David in Peoria, Arizona, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And I'd just like to call some parallels here to the abortive drug, the RU486. Okay, in kitchen slang, if some particular food item is not available anymore, it's gone, it's considered to be 86th. Mm-hmm. So is this drug asking everybody, are you 486? Are you 486ing those little babies that haven't been born yet?
Yeah.
And that's just my comment.
Thank you for that.
And that's all I have to say.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much. Very interesting thought there, Pastor Jim.
I think David ought to join a pro-life PR firm. Are you 486ing humanity?
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening in abortion. And, the United States is also, I believe, heading for a demographic winter if we don't change. We have, marriage rates are plummeting, fertility rates are down to 1.6. Our fertility rate needs to be 2.1 just to replace our population. I mean, this is, an economic system, and I'm not making an argument just for economic purposes, but just so people know, the basic unit of an economy is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
A human being is a creator, not a consumer. Primarily. And so when there is no sustainable economic model for a flat or declining population base, and all you got to do is ask China, ask Japan, ask, any of the Western European nations, even Eastern European nations for that matter, ask Greece, ask Italy. I mean, we are destroying ourselves by discipline or, distancing ourselves from the ultimate purpose of the family, and that's the basic unit of society, civilized order. We've embraced this materialistic kind of consumer driven individualistic culture and secularized to such an extent that government has become our God instead of God being our God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we no longer have a purpose. We no longer understand what marriage is all about. We no longer understand we no longer have an understanding of what sacrifice is for. So we have to return to God to re-civilize and put the civilized order back on track.
And friends, know where this is heading. And I know it's another topic, another program, but this is where we're going to see a huge emphasis, in my opinion, coming toward euthanasia. Must kill off the elderly. What is your contribution to society? Look at the numbers that are going off the charts in Canada right now. But again, another topic, another day, but very much related to what we're talking about. More calls after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Christ says, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." There are now reports of an artificial intelligence Jesus. You can see it online. I have. And now over 36,000 people are regularly, so far, talking to this so-called artificial intelligence Jesus, who is completely politically correct. It's blasphemy. I think it's meant to mock Christ. But what it shows us, I believe, is that technology is there for this to be used to deceive the whole world. Not to mention, what will this image in the temple be that is set up by the Antichrist to speak words of blasphemy? Wait for the technology to advance further with holograms and artificial intelligence, and many will be greatly deceived by a technocratic savior, even if it's artificial intelligence. I'm Brandon House.
Pastor Jim Harden with us here today. Dobbs, 1 year later, their website, CompassCareCommunity.com, CompassCareCommunity.com. And you can certainly stay abreast of what they're engaged in and the ministry that's taking place, their Stand for Life. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Jack in Superior, Wisconsin. Jack, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. I remember when this decision came down, I shed a few tears because I know a lot of people like myself have prayed the rosary for this transformation in our country. But I like to think that of the number of lives that have already been saved in the past year, and one of those babies may grow up to be a great leader, a great person to improve all of our human race.
Interesting. And every life, thank you for the call. Every life is indeed precious, and certainly the importance of standing for all of human life is so critically important. Let's pick up Greg in Tucson, Arizona. Greg, you're on the air.
Thank you so much. I do not celebrate Dobbs, and I say that there's a great schism within the so-called pro-life movement. To me, the judges play Pontius Pilate. They should have come out and said, the baby has a right to life, close all the abortion clinics. Based on what you said, Pastor Jim, based on the personhood and the Constitution, premised on the right to life in the Declaration, it's already established. So, you know, there is a great divide, a great schism between us and the pro-life movement. We don't celebrate things like heartbeat bills that purportedly save pre-heartbeat babies. No, post-heartbeat, it allows you to kill pre-heartbeat babies. So we're a long way. We're a long way, unfortunately, from this.
Greg, thank you for the call. I'm going to have Pastor Jim respond. Go ahead, Jim.
Greg is right. And, you know, if you look at, a 6-week heartbeat bill, it still allows for 45% of all abortions to continue. 45% of all abortions happen before 6 weeks, before the baby's heart starts beating. And I think that every serious presidential candidate needs to come out and start talking about putting personhood amendments on every single budget and every single kind of, you know, debate around debt ceiling renegotiations, you know, because look, we're in a tough spot, and quite frankly, it's the government's job to protect all people equally, especially, not just including, but especially the most weak and vulnerable preborn boy and girl. That's our future. That's the oppression of the future. We need to, and so, you know, to negotiate how many babies is okay to let die is barbaric. Splitting hairs like that is absolutely insane. Think about how many babies will we let die? Well, just so that we get more leverage on other issues. This is not an issue. Abortion is not just another social issue. Abortion represents a fundamental misunderstanding of what it means to be human under God, and we're missing it. And every single politician that comes out there, and anybody that wants to run for president or public office, needs to understand and recognize that they're undermining the very fabric of society. I know I'm mixing metaphors, but they're undermining the moorings of a civilized order when they're allowing for the destruction of human life that are supposed to be the next generation. So thanks Greg. I really appreciate your input.
Our next caller is AB in Racine, Wisconsin. AB, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Jim, for having me and hosting this show today, because, you know, I'm with Terry 1 hour, and mm-hmm. we go out there to death camps and minister to the mothers to turn to Christ rather than destroying their lives and the lives of their children with love, kindness, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when it came down last year, it just knocked me out of water, because this is what we call God's grace. God is trying to do everything he can to save us from his wrath. And you can see that a lot of babies has been saved, but we have a lot of work to do. We can no longer sit in behind the pews and pulpit and not go out and engage this society. We must stand up for the gospel. The gospel is not hate speech. The gospel can save a man's soul from a judgment of God to come. And so we are grateful for the anniversary. We're grateful for all the pregnant centers that work in conjunction with our ministry that's going out there and minister to the lost. They don't have this mind. They have the mind of the world. They don't know that God is able to do all things. There is nothing hard for him to do. And they need to know that God does care about them.
Yeah.
And that's why we're out there trying to minister to them. But
Amen.
We were so blessed. I was really shocked because I thought that this was never going to happen.
Yeah. God bless you, A.B. Thank you for the call, and thank you for your pro-life advocacy as well. Indeed, many, many good thoughts, Jim, that A.B. had to share with us.
Yeah, thank you very much, A.B. That's very encouraging. And I would say I would agree 100%. When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, she's at a crossroads. God is bringing her to a crossroads. A lot of people say, well, you know, the unplanned pregnancy is a negative side effect to sexual activity, you know, outside of marriage or whatever. Well, that's not true. STDs are. But what is an unplanned pregnancy? Where God is sovereign. He has sovereignly created a new human life. Mm-hmm. And it's a moment where God brings this woman to a crossroads of grace where she can make one more poor decision in a long line of poor decisions that got her here and have an abortion. Or she can choose to make the first positive decision in a long line of future positive decisions and submit her life to Christ and have this baby.
Yeah.
Because when, you know, what does abortion represent but hopelessness? When a woman faces an unplanned pregnancy, she says, I'm stuck, I'm trapped, I've got no choice. No choice. That's what she says. And that represents hopelessness. There's lots of reasons why, but we can give her hope. Christianity, Christ is our hope.
Amen.
He is our protector and he is our provider, and we can show her that by coming alongside of her with ethical medical care and comprehensive community support, so that giving her the ability to say no to abortion. That is the power of the church at work.
A.B., thanks for the call. We're going to squeeze Joe in from Laval. You're on the air.
Hey, I have a question for Pastor Hardin. How do we know the crisis center bombing was not an inside job?
How do we know that the firebombing of Compass Cares operation in Buffalo, New York, was not an inside job?
We've got about 20 seconds, Jim. Go ahead and respond.
Ask the FBI.
Yeah.
Ask
the
DOJ. Ask the Department of Homeland Security. Ask the local police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. We have run out of time. CompassCareCommunity.com. CompassCareCommunity.com is the website. And Jim, thank you for standing up for life. Thank you for joining us here today on the program.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Pastor Jim Hardin from Compass Care. Friends, let's be advocates for life. Let's choose life. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.